Father, for the congregation throughout the world today, I pray that you'd bless them mightily in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the power of God to come and touch them. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name, rearrange their lives, come before them in a mighty way. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord God, that you would move for that one over in Africa and those places of hardships. They're going through hardships this day. I pray that you would give them the stamina to be able to stand, having done all to stand. Give them the courage this day. Give your people courage to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them courage this day to be more than conquerors through you which love us. Father God, we pray for the blessing of God to be upon your people. We pray for the anointing to be upon your people. And Father, we pray that you'd bring miracles upon your people. Lord God, we know we're in the last hour. We're living in a time of perilous times are here. But Father, we pray for the promotion from heaven. Lord God, that you'd move upon your people as only you can in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you'd move mightily upon the cares of these people, the world is going through troubles, through the times of destruction, through the times of difficulties. And Father, we know that very shortly that many things are going to expire when the time will be no more. Help your people to be ready, to be prepared in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, we just pray that a mighty blessing upon your people, your beloved. And Father, we pray that you bring strength to your people in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we praise you this day. Lord, we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah, Lord God. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors through him which loved us. But we have to realize that we have a part of us has to be used for God's glory. God could come down out of heaven and make everything do what we can't do, but he won't do it because he wants us to be used by him. It means he could have robots down here, and we could get this earth all ship-shaped. He'd have churches and be just spick and span. He'd have all these things. But he decides to use people. He's using his family that he created. The descendants of Adam and Eve and go through Abraham and all the way down. Our father's fathers. And through that, God has us in this last hour that we might proclaim his name. That we might live above reproach. That we might live in a way that we can have the consuming power of God, the Spirit of God upon our lives, and his mighty touch upon us that will help us, strengthen us, to enable us to be live courageously before him. That we would have show forth that honor, that praise that only God can have. We need to realize God wants us to be a tool of honor, a tool that we can say a praise, a showman for God, that God says, my child, live righteously for me, and I shall use you for a blessing. I will use you as a landmark for others, showing them that these have lived for me, and through their life, I will move upon them mightily, that many will be saved, many will be touched because of the righteousness of his beloved. God is trying to work in these last hours to have a remnant of people that will be above reproach, live at a higher circle than the people can even figure they can live in. God wants us to ask him, seek ye first his kingdom. And it says, then all these things shall be added. God has a way in the storm. He has a way through the times of sickness. He has a way through the times of sorrow. He is the comforter of all things. And we must realize he's here to reprogram us, not after our own will or own desire, but he wants to take on his nature. His nature is love, joy, peace, patience. All these wonderful gifts of him, it's faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And within ourselves, we toy with these, we look at these things, they look like mountains, because we can't understand how that anyone can be able to conquer what he wants. With him, with the things that we're facing, we cannot conquer it. But with God, we're more than conquerors because he's in us, with us, and for us, and beyond our imagination. He's there to deliver us, to set us free, that we might be live higher and wiser and closer to be his blessing. In doing this, we come out of our old man as full of darkness. Our lives are sort of our inner part, just because we have the nature of Adam and Eve. We have the old Adamic nature. And God, through that, through the process of his Spirit, wants to bring us out of that. And he realizes it takes a lot to get us out of that, because our old man loves darkness, loves the deeds of the world. There's something about us that likes, we just like unless you're a real Christian. People like to pull tricks. They go farther than that. They like to do mean things. That's the old nature. But when you start getting close to God, this leaves you. But in that process of getting there, you need to realize that God does. He comes in a very special way, and He starts moving on you with His Spirit. He starts taking away the darkness, the hidden things from us. And when we take on darkness, we have to bring in His Spirit. And last night, the Lord was speaking to my heart. It's just like breathing. We breathe Him in. The more we breathe Him in, the more we exhale, get rid of a lot of bad things. The more we bring in, the more that we get it. And as we read the Bible, we get a cleansing. When we pray to Him, it's like a cleansing. And we bring it in, and it exhausts out. It gets rid of the byproducts, the old waste, the things that are not correct. It gets rid of them. And through that, we get a cleansing. We get a reprogramming from heaven. And pretty soon, we're living, but we can never stop the cycle, because what we have in us, just like air, we have to bring reproduction. And that reproduction comes as we call upon God. Inviting Him in my heart. Said, Lord, I can't make it. Lord, I just love You so much. I praise You so much. I want You to be the center of my life. I want You to be my hope. I want You to be my resurrection life. I want to be faithful to You, Lord. I want to be found faithful, my God. I want to please Your heart. You know, when you want to please someone, you want to do anything in the world to make them happy. God wants to make us happy, and we need to make Him happy by pleasing Him. Pleases God when we say, Lord, I just love You. I praise You. I want to live victoriously for You. It might sound old-fashioned, the days that we're living in, trying to live above reproach, but that's what God wishes for, and it's an honor, because God is, it's an honor to be invited into this position. Just think about it. You know, there's a lot of people that cannot, somehow, they haven't hooked up with God to this degree, but God has seen fit that you're here this day, and out there in wherever you are, God sees fit. He wants you to start growing greater and bigger and higher in Him. He is the reason for the season. He is the reason that you've been born. It's because of Him that you're more than conquerors, that you want to walk in a peaceful life upon this earth, but you will be a productive life, living and as an overcomer. The Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. We must strive for that overcoming. An overcomer is someone that you're facing odds and you overcome it. And your strength is to endure that hardness as a good soldier. And we'll go through it and you'll endure it. And that's overcoming. That's what it is. You overcome the problem. You overcome the situation. You are the reason for the season where you are. You become that light that's going to shine in where your region, where your place, that you let your light so shine that you might glorify your Heavenly Father. It glorifies God when you let your light shine. It lets God shine as you let Him shine upon you. The glory of God, the news comes from heaven. It's like God gets a recipient. We connect with Him and He puts His blessings upon us. He brings from heaven's shore. He puts upon us a worth that we're not worth much without Him. But with Him, we're more. We receive a bountiful harvest. We receive a blessing, an overflow of His love. We see an overtaxing of the glory. We receive that overflow of blessings, that inheritance. And most of all, we have it in our heart that I know if something happens, that I have that confidence. I have that confidence. Sister Jan, He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I have a confidence. I'm going home, and I'm not going to have no what I have now. And I'm going to be set totally free. We're more than conquerors through Him. That the old plagues of this earth that bothered us were only for a moment. Working for us, a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. We're not looking at the things that are seen. We look for the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For this cause we faint not. For the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. Then the light affliction we have is only for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a gift. God wants us to be a gift when we come to heaven. It's Christmas time, it's giving, but there'll be one day when we stand before God, and that's how Christmas started. Jesus gave us life, that He gave that special blessing, that we can live with that joy, that peace, having that closeness. Oh, hallelujah, that all is well. When sad life gets to its bottom, you can say, all is well. All is well. Nothing touches my heart like Jesus. There's no friend like Him. There's nothing that can even come close to what he offers. And what's happening, there's a serious side upon this is happening right now, and God's speaking to my heart. We've taken the positive side, but this side is happening for those who are coming to a place and they're starting to crumble. Works of flesh will crumble. Works of flesh cannot stand, they cannot stand against the scrutiny of God's glory. They can't be examined by that great being able to search out, see how it's made out of, because there's flaws in us without God. And what we're facing, it takes flawless material. It takes perfect design. It takes a perfect model. And God's the only one can model us in his presence, that we cannot stand in our own selves. We're clumsy within ourselves, but we're not clumsy in the Lord. He remodeled us in such a way that we take on his image. We take on his likeness. And many people through this, there's a fall that's coming upon, bless their hearts, but they're missing the life. They're missing that true spirit. All started well, but we need to realize that we can lose ourselves the same way. We have to keep seeking God day by day. For the flight affliction we have is only for a moment. We have these problems for a moment. But you know, eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternity is that wonderful, or it can be that terrible. There's also an other side of the Lord. It said that we would wish we had never been born. I'm going to shift gears for a minute, going over to Ephesians. Starting out in Ephesians, the first chapter, the 18th verse, "For the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance of the saints." This is basically a summarizing it down what we've been talking about. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye might be know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. The inheritance is in the saints. Then the next chapter says, "And ye have he quickened who dead in trespasses and, for we once walked all according to the course of the world, according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." You know, we've all had that spirit. And you know, when Caleb and Joshua, God said they had a different spirit than the other 10 spies. Daniel had a different spirit. And I guarantee you there's a different spirit even in Christian realm. I don't know how to explain this, but there's something, if you'll go all the way with God, God puts a special capsule of love upon you. There's like an identification that's on your, if you had a signet of a ring, of a ring that would let people know that ring might mean something, like a wife would have the wedding ring, husband also. But God's got a signet for us. He's got us, and it's in the spirit. It's the Spirit of God, and that you cannot buy that. It's only come as you come and allow God remold you. It will come in your heart in a very special way. Among who also we had a conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature, children of wrath, even as others. But the next verse says, "But even as God with his great love has loved us. And when we did in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you saved through faith, and has raised us up to sit up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." That's why we're here. He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even though we're here, there's part of us that God's bringing to heaven. We have a hope that's in heaven, and that's part of us. It's up there because we've given over, and we don't understand all these. You have a chemistry nowadays, and things bring us into a place that we never understood. There's something that you can take part of me and bring it here, and it's part of me. And even if someone cut my arm off, this is still part of me. Jesus said, very special, he said it'd be better to cut your arm off, your leg off, and make it to heaven than to have them and not make heaven. And what he's trying to say is the spirit man is the power. It stays within you forever. You'll never lose it. You'll lose this body. This body will have a new body. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be greater than we have here. There'll be no problems. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, Apostle Paul, well, he says he sought the Lord, but God didn't see fit to heal him. Some of these things we have to say, I'm going to love God just as much if he don't heal me, as he heals me. And it's nothing wrong with our faith, but God does that. We recognize continually that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need his input every day of my life. And we refine ourselves to that cause that he's there to arrange us, that we might separate from the things of this world. The cares of this world seem to be so powerfully many people that we can't make it without being partakers of the old man. But the old man will bring us down. He'll bring us down to a place that in the fourth chapter of Ephesians says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. Vocation. You know, there's many vocations in the world today. There's cat skinners, there's mechanics, there's sheep herders, there's all different kinds of people working, office workers and all these computer workers and all these different, there are different vocations. When you go to a trade school or any school, it's vocations list what you're going to take. Oh, I'm going to learn to be a doctor. Well, you'll need to go over here because they teach about doctrine. Now, if you want to be a pastor, you go over here and they teach you how to do it. And there's different schools that cover a lot of knowledge. But knowledge is something that we see in this life that's very meaningful, and it brings us to a place that we can endure through this life, short time of life, and be prosperous while we're here because we know a trade, we know an occupation. But Paul said that we might have that vocation. So I believe that God even has callings for us as we have callings for God in our life, like doctors, lawyers, butchers, bakers, all these different. God sees us as tools that he will glorify, part of him that will make up this family of God. We're like we're part of a great big picture. And that picture might be, I might be the arm, you might be the eye, and we're a part of the family. But God has it where we receive that vocation or life that we can receive that best blessing that no one else could receive, can have. What you can have, because God has it designated just for you. You're that special for him. But over in the fourth chapter 2, it says, in this part here, I really believe this is what we really need to start working on. This is probably a teaching, a lot of this, but it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt his own deceitful lusts. See, that's where we are without God. We're corrupt. Our old conversation is corrupt. We don't have no softness of our voice. We are very harsh. We're very opinionated. We get very out of sorts one time when our feelings are hurt. We all these characteristics in us to be rigid, to be stone like sometimes. But God wants us to be pliable in him. According to the deceitfulness and renewed in the spirit of your mind is put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true wholeness, the mind of Christ be in us, that new spirit. God, as we come and become a child, he starts working on our mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We need to realize that God wants to renew our minds and bring us in a place that we have not the mind problem. Even though we have a mind to be used by God, we don't use it in the same way we'd use before we're saved, because we realize that God moves upon us in things through the Spirit. And we have to come to him as a baby in those areas. But yet our mind, if we start getting out of kilter, it's going to bring us back real fast. Hey, I'm backsliding. I'm getting away from God. And it should be where it will bring us back on track. It's there for correction. It's there to help you. It's there. That's your mind. But when the Spirit starts moving in you, he sort of overrides that. There's like some machines you have, like you can override. And you override it. That means that function can be overridden by another component. And when it overrides it, it'll block that one out if it need to be. But that's the way God is over in the spirit. It puts us in a place that our spirit man is not the total leader in our lives. But yet, if we start getting away from God, it should be bring us back on schedule because it's process, because we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right and divine the truth, that we have that within us that we want to realize that I need the safety in my Lord, that I cannot be deceived, even though I might get shaken away out of the spirit, that I will still not follow, that I realize that I have to have the spirit to be able to maintain. Does it make sense? But I mean, I'm not putting what I have here to over the spirit, but I bring it back. I place my back, like Apostle Paul said, lest I become a castaway. Though I preach all, lest I should become a castaway. It gives me that place that I'm determined in my mind that I'm going to serve God. I'm determined in my mind that I'm going to love my God. I'm determined that I'm going to live for Him. I'm determined that nothing's going to shake me. I'm determined that I want to walk in His love and His fellowship, and there's nothing that's going to keep me out of that. And that's what's in my mind. My mind is to be used for God's glory. And yet if I need to go out here and work on your house or something, or whatever it is, that comes through the mind. Even God may help you, but a lot of times you won't need. He will not help you unless you need extra input. And they work together. They're not in a sledgehammer situation with this and that. It's like they just go together. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus walking out of the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. In the natural man, you would have problems because you'd probably be hurting feelings like we all will. But with the Spirit of God, God doesn't hurt feelings. He moves mightily in a special way, in an overpowerfully way that doesn't overpower people. You know, we can sometimes, with the Spirit of God, we have a tendency of overpowering someone because they don't know as much about the Lord as we do. In ourselves, we can make them feel uncomfortable. So that's where we have to back off and allow the Spirit of God to move in us, that we, in ourselves, we have a process of doing things in a way that only we would do them. But God sees us as above that. He wants to bring us to the place that He can ordain us with His glory. They work together. They work right together. They complement one another. Can you understand? They complement you, and they'll bless you. They'll encourage you, but yet you need both of them. You can't just throw your mind away. You've got to, but it's not there to be the leader. It's there to be, it moves in the place of the body realm. See, this body realm, most of we work, we do all these functions in the body realm, even though you're spirit filled. But the spirit filled comes to the process that God moves upon you with the spirit for a certain process, and your body releases itself under the Spirit for that time. They work together, and the body will get to where it likes it because it's special when God's there. They're there to bless you, and it's not there to scare you, to interfere with you, but to realize that you have a support mechanism that God has designated, that we are more than conquerors through Him, which says, when I don't know, He's there to say, yes, I do know. I'm here to help you when you don't know, and when we don't know, He's there to encourage us going on and on and on. And through life, we always need a helping hand, and God is the helping hand. We do what we can do. The Bible says, having done all, we stand. Through faith, we stand by faith. But God brings the place that we move out through Him by the faith from heaven. And you'll do great and mighty exploits that you could never learn to do until you become the place that you relax in Him. And these two don't war against one another because they're moving together in the realm in that body. They're not there to any friction, any hostility. They're there to complement, to move upon. And the body is going to say, I love you, Lord. I want you to come. I want you to come into my life right now. I just love you so much. They're there, but yet God allows you to have a memory system. God makes you as a person. He doesn't take away your identification. He doesn't take all the, but He has you to walk in His Spirit. And Spirit is there to help us, to strengthen us, that we might be above reproach. In my own self, I fail constantly. But God helps us not to fail so much. He's like a fail-safe invention that's beyond any imagination. No one's invented something like God has made for us, that we have a personal attention from heaven that guides us, that directs us, and all that we have to maintain basically is living above reproach. But he wishes that, and he makes it very easy for us to be comfortable in those areas. It's something that we, you know, years ago it probably would have thrown me too, and I probably would have thrown all of us. But it's easy in the Lord, and when you get out of the Lord, that's very hard. You get very discouraged. And the world is so programmed that if you're not careful, someone will almost try to get you out of the Spirit. They'll say, well, you know, just like the day I had that person say, well, you know, that room's ruined because rain got in there. Well, you know, you got to come to a place that's in God's hands. You're not going to worry with it, even though it might be a fret. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down as the green grass and shall wither as the herb. But trust the Lord and do good. So shall I. God wants us to trust Him, believe in Him. If the Israelites would have believed in God, trust in Him, God would have them through the promised land in just a short order. But they could not trust Him. They could not. They wanted to go back. They had lost their first love. We lose our first love, we're in serious condition. We need to have that first love. We need to have that first compassion, that I might be the remnant of my Heavenly Father, that I be partakers of Him, that I might be blessed from heaven, that I might ensue righteousness, that I might walk in holiness, holy living. Being not afraid. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Greater is He that's within you. He's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are some of the assets that we get as knowing God. But yet, even through those areas, God still allows you to recognize the Spirit generally as the top leader in all these areas. Amen. But when you're on your own, you can say, God is maybe more than conquerors. God treats you as an individual. You're not a robot moving through the Spirit. God allows you to live in your own home, your own realm, living on a very positive relationship. You don't have to, He's not going to tell you, go do this. He doesn't do that. And He very seldom will cut in, only when He wants you to do something. And if you're living where you're supposed to be, you're not really having too much interference from God. He's there just to help you. And if He likes for you to maybe say, good morning, Lord, and all these things, which we understand. But He's not a one to interfere with you to the degree that you can't cope with life itself. God wants you to love your wife. Wants wives to love the husband. The kids to love the parents. Those are part of and those precepts of God. But we also, this move of the Spirit is just actually that God could get His heart and our hearts together at times when He wants to do something wonderful, which is a big part of the time. But He comes on you, maybe in the still of night, where you're praying, whatever. But God can lay it on your heart to do something too. You don't have to actually say it. He can just lay it on your heart, and you know what you're supposed to do. You just know there's a gentle touch from Him. You know, dogs are that way. You just pat them on the head, you know, and they respond to it. God sort of pats us on the head sometimes, and we need to respond because God is our Heavenly Father, and He'll not leave us. He'll never forsake us. Life itself has many problems. Life itself has privileges, but I think privileges come from the Lord. Problems come from the enemy. Privileges, God allows them to be a privilege. When we serve Him for a while, He gives us privileges. You'll have a problem, and all of a sudden, the Lord say, I healed you. You pretty soon you'll say, boy, I don't have this problem. The Lord lets you know that He just took care of it for you. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, it says, and I believe this is real here. It says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall it not be much more clothed for you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or whatsoever ye shall be clothed. For after these things doth the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of before these things. And then the last verse says, Therefore take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient the day is evil of it. If God so clothed the things that are, He's going to take care of us. And we shouldn't be so concerned. We shouldn't say, Lord, I'm scared to death. No, we should have that faith that God is going to, like Israel, if Israel could got in their hearts that God is going to take us to the promised land. But they could never see that. They see that they wanted to go back into Egypt. And that was like the old sin. And God wants to deliver us the same way. And many times we buck, we do things, we sort of come against from those that wanted to help us. God wants us to walk bravely in Him, that we might walk in His complete blessing. But God wants to take care of us. As that scripture just says, He makes the grass over the fields. He will take care of us. We don't have to feel like we're left aside. You never ever been someplace where you felt alone? You've been in a big airport or something, you know, you sit there by yourself and you feel really alone. But God in life, you'll find a friend that He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And that you put on the new man, this is going on in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. But I really believe this here is part of us. I'm just going to read through this, but this fourth chapter of Ephesians is really powerful. The 11th verse says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. The 12th verse, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. It goes down, but we can't have them unless we get these over here. I'm just going to read this, but I believe they're very powerful. And you put on the new man, which after God's created righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away all lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. These are just areas that we can all touch up ourselves. I go over them, try to every 3 or 4 days or a month, I try to go over this, keep going over them, because need to give place to the devil. Let him steal no more, let him labor with his hand that he might have to give to them that needeth. So it isn't wrong to work. It's not wrong to, God sees Paul work. We all see it. Sometimes it helps us to sweat a little. Something about these bodies that we have to work, it makes us do, that we put a little more into it. I knew two doctors. Dr. Joe Rosenblum and I forget the other doctor. Dr. Joe was a Jew and his other doctor friend, one was in Corsicana and one was in Trinidad. But Dr. Joe had to work to get his education. And the other one got it easy because his family. So I think Dr. Joe's, by him working, he probably appreciated it more than Dr. Koning, I think, is the other. But they used to talk about that. So one got it easy and the other one got hard. They still both become doctors. But sometimes God lets us have it easy and sometimes we have to work it hard. But sometimes I think when we do it hard, we remember it a little better. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. The use of edifying that it might minister grace unto the hearers. You know, this is a very big area right here as Christians, that our tongue should be free from all iniquity. Our tongue should be counseled by the Spirit. And that's where our mind should grow to that depth, that I am not let no guile come out of these lips. I don't care if I get in a corner. I'm not going to get in a place that I'm going to say something that I'm going to be sorry for. Betty's mother used to tell me something, don't say something that you might have to eat. You know, and when I was young, I thought about my mother-in-law telling me that time and time again. But we don't want to say something that we might have to eat, that we might have to bite our tongue and say, Lord, why did I say that? Why didn't I think about that before I hurt someone's feelings, before I caused, the Bible said if we caused one little one to stumble, it'd be better than a millstone be put upon our neck and cast in the deepest sea. So let our words be few. The Bible says be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We need to bridle our tongues. And James, it says, we might have our tongue as an unruly evil full of deadly poison whom no man can tame. We need that influence of God to anoint this tongue. That's why we need the Spirit of God, and we need this mind in us that we might not do things beyond a realm that we lose control. Temperance is an area that without temperance, we don't have control in our body. We lose control and we get out of kilter. That's why we have murderers. That's why we have the jails are just full of people that's out of control. And us as Christians, we would be there the same way if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Him coming and interceding for us would be me, O Lord. Stand that need of prayer. We need to realize it's He that saved us. It's only He that will keep us that way as long as we keep coming back to Him and breathing in that heavenly language that we might dispel the old man, the old corruption that's with us. That ye might minister grace unto the hearers. That we might minister grace unto the hearers. There's more than just being a pastor. There's us. We have the love of God in our vocabulary that lifts up the name of Jesus. That we might have that spontaneous overflow of the glory of God in our that moves mightily that our lips lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up holiness, that we want to be that vessel of praise, that I would honor my Heavenly Father, that I would honor my friends, that I would not say no guile, I would not come in hypocrisy or these weapons that comes against us. And the enemy comes to destroy, to kill. So he wishes for us to make all terrible blunders. But we, with God's help, don't want to make blunders. And it says, grieve not. This right here is the one that bothers me and probably the most of all these. That says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. That grieving of the Holy Spirit has been real in the churches. They grieve the Holy Ghost because I've heard them say, we don't need Him. Well, that's terrible because He is the one that's going to present us to God at that day. He's going to bring us back through the clouds of glory and turn us over to God to give to Jesus. Hallelujah. So how we treat Him, Jesus said, He said, oh, I will forgive you of all things. But remember, if you come against the Holy Ghost, it will never be forgiven. So be careful what we say about the Holy Spirit. And people, they have probably said the unpardonable sin, many people, because they have said great threatening words many times about the Holy One. That's why we're ignorant. It says, having their understanding darkened, their lives alienated from the life of God through the ignorance because the blindness of their hearts. And the next verse says, this I say and testify of the Lord that ye henceforth no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. And then the next scripture just says, having their understanding darkened. That's in Ephesians. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated. Alienated is separated from God through ignorance. Through ignorance. Because of the blindness that's in their heart, who being fast feelings, given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work uncleanness with greediness. Those are really heavy. I believe this fourth chapter of Ephesians is probably, I try to read it because it's so much truth here. And then it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking put away with all malice. That's for us Christians. This is all for Christians. This isn't for the unbeliever. This is for Christians out there, wherever you are. This is for Christians. We need to take heed to this that we might grow and not profess a mark against us. We need that love of God that touches in a mighty way and be kind-hearted, tender-hearted. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even for God as Christ has forgiven you. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, someone that's tender-hearted, they don't hold grudges. If someone does them ill, love suffereth long and is kind, love bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. They have the love of God. Love suffereth long and is kind, love bondeth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, rejoice not in iniquity, rejoice in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. These are the particles that we grow, and this is part of that, to bring you in the place of love. You can't have love, until this becomes manifested. And that's the growth, this is the growth pattern. We grow in the nature and admonition of the Lord, that we might come forth, be processed, as a rose of Sharon, that we might shine for Jesus. We'd let our light shine in such a powerful way that they can realize that we have been with Jesus. There's no surprise to them. They know that their Heavenly Father loves us so much that He rests within our love. He moves upon us. People might not like us, but they have to say, hey, I know they've been in their hearts. They might not want to confess this to the world, but themselves, they know that we have been with Jesus. And when you've been with Jesus, then love suffereth long and is kind. You have no envy in your heart. You want no ill. You worketh no ill against your neighbor. You're working in the blessing. If you overcome it in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest also thou shalt fall. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it's easy for me when I start moving through the... You know, today we needed to make sure these were correctly spoken by the Word. The Word of God needs to be correct in its truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We're more than conquerors. Oh, hallelujah. With Him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise ye the Lord. God is wonderful. He's here to strengthen us this day. God bless you all. Out there in wherever this is going today, I pray that God will bless you in a mighty way. And I believe that God has a special calling for each one of you. I believe that God has a special place for you. And if any of you here in the throughout this land today has a need, just call. And we will pray for you. We will lift you up. We will encourage you. And we want to encourage you this day to keep going on for Jesus, because Jesus is coming through the clouds of glory very soon. And He's coming for the redeemed. He's coming for those who have chosen Him as their Savior. And I pray today that God will move mightily, favor you in a very special way, encourage you, that you will not let go of the helm of Jesus. You will not let go of His garment, that garment of praise, that blessing, that He will stay in His fellowship. Father God, we pray for a mighty blessing upon Your people. I pray, Lord God, that You move upon them in a mighty way. For I am the Lord thy God. I am here this day to bless thee, my ones. Be not afraid, for I am the Lord thy God. For I have chosen thee this day that thou would no longer have the interference from the enemy in thy life. For I am here to give thee strength that thou might be encouraged forevermore. And I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Remember, I am with thee. Remember, I am with thee. I shall be with thee through times of troubles, through times of discouragement. And I will not let thee go. I shall keep thee, and I shall be faithful. Remember, our Lord thy God loveth thee, and I shall never leave thee, saith the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Wow. Out there in America this day, I believe that God has something wonderful for everyone in this land. Not just for America, but for the whole world. God is here to bless His people, to strengthen His people in a very special way. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just pray for those that feel like they're alone this day, maybe in different places of this country. And Father, we know that there's a man in Pennsylvania this day. And Father, we pray You'll bless him in a mighty way. Father, for that lady that was in Illinois, I believe, I pray that You would bless her, bless these ones in Texas and many different places through the world that's made contact with us. And Father, on this day, I pray that You'd move properly as only You can upon each one of these ones, these brothers and sisters in Christ this day. And Father, I pray that You'll fulfill the needs, You'll meet whatever the desires of their heart this day. And Father, I pray that You'll fulfill Your will in their hearts as only You can. Father, we claim for divine healing for that one this day that's going through that process, they're going in that time of agony this very moment. And Father God, we pray that You'd take away that fear, that even that pain from them. Father, give them a blessed day this day. Lord God, Father, I pray, Lord God, help these ones in a mighty way. And Father, we pray for Your people wherever they are this day. Father, we pray that You'd encourage them, that You might bless them. Father, that You might instill them into their hearts how much You love them. And how much do You desire to be with them and be upon them and to guide them, to heal them, to exalt Yourself in their lives in a very special and a very understanding way as only You can. And Father, we pray for a mighty unction of the Spirit of God today. Father, we pray that You dissolve any problems this day in the name of Jesus. Father, we know Your Word declares that we are more than conquerors through You which loved us. And Father, that You are forever faithful. And Father, we thank You that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that You change not. Help us this day to adapt ourselves to Your calling. And Father, I pray that You'd search us by Your mighty Spirit. Father, bring us into correction this day. Father, if there's any flaws in my life, Father, I wish to give them to you this day and take them from me, Father God. And Father, we know that our perfection comes in you this day. And Father, I pray, I know that your word in Ephesians says you want to bring the saints into perfection. And Father, this day we pray, Lord God, that we might give ourselves to you, that only that you might bring us into that place that we're pleasing to thy eyes. Lord God, that we stand before you, pleasing you and wanting, and you see that we want to do thy will, O Lord. Help us this day. Help us to walk upright before you and help us not to be deceived. Help us to walk that we might walk in faith, believing that we are we become the recipient of the reward that diligently seek you, Father God. Father God, help us this day to obtain the place that you want us to live, Father God. Let us live a life of righteousness that we may please in thy eyes. Help us be faithful, Father God. We might be faithful and stewards. We might pray constantly, that we might pray to do thy will. Help us to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and help us run that race with patience. Thank you, Father. And we just pray for a mighty blessing upon your people. Father, wherever this is going throughout the world, even India, Father, right now, we pray for that one in India that's going through that time of oppression right now. And Father, I sense there's more that's going through trials, through times of discouragement. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, I pray that the Comforter of God would come down upon these ones. Comfort them as only you can. And Father, we claim that comfort this day. Father, we pray for a mighty miracle in these ones. We pray for a liberty in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you bring prosperity. Help them this day and rearrange their lives for your glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, that you're not slack concerning your promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering, us were not willing that any should perish. It's not your will that any miss heaven. Father God, we just pray that you'd move mightily upon your people. And Father, there would be not one who would miss that wonderful day. Here's this voice of mine this day. I pray that no one that's hearing this message will miss that wonderful day, that we'll all find ourselves arranging in heaven, and we'll all greet ourselves up there. We'll be happy in the Lord. We'll be excited in the Lord. And Father, we know that you're able, faithful to keep us that day, that calling, the election sure, when the beloved are going to go home to see you in the air. And what a wonderful day that's going to be. Out there today, if there's any of you that's discouraged, God is the answer. His Son Jesus paid in full that you might have be redeemed from the things of the curse of this world, that you might have a new hope, a new direction, a new power, a new direction in heaven. That your eyes no longer look upon the things of this world, but you'd be looking to Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one that can redeem you, the one that can prove you, to help you, that we might walk in a place of redemption story. That we can tell that story one day. Oh, how glad it was to serve the Lord thy God. Lord, we thank you for a mighty touch this day. Father, I pray, Lord God, touch my body this day. Touch us all this day in a mighty way. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. You know that, but seek ye first. That's that when we first come to Jesus, when we decided, when someone prayed for us and got us that place that we knew there was a drawing us to repentance. That we might have that place of coming, an invitation. The greatest invitation that we can ever have is realizing that we've been set free. We had our way, a death sentence, all of us. When Jesus came into our lives, we received life, and that abundant life. And we need to recognize that first encounter with God is so wonderful, so blessed, so special. It's a starting point that we all must view very heavily, that I put my eyes upon the Lord and I'm not turning back. That's a time like a marriage when you come together and you say, make your vows. God says, seek ye first his kingdom. And if you do that, we let Jesus come in our hearts. That's a time of growth. That's a time of a new heart, a new life, being exposed to the things of God. Up to that point, we have no relationship with God. We have a relationship in darkness. We have a relationship in the old man. And that relationship brings us down to a place that we're all prone to be discouraged. We're prone to be sick. We're prone to have heartaches. And they come even sometimes to all of us, but they come mightier before we know Jesus, because Jesus said, he said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Greater is he that's within you, he that's within the world. So we need to take thought that God, before we even accept Him, that I have a purpose in my heart, that I'm going to make a vow to my God, that I want to live for Him, that I want to put Him first, that I want to walk upright, that He might be pleasing in my life. The Bible says in Colossians, says that we might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And that should be our aim, that should be our desire, that we want to come to that place out there throughout the world today that you're hearing this message. That should be our aim, our thought, that we're not getting, that's just something that can be something we can use, but it's life itself. It gives us a new life, a new hope, a new direction that we didn't have till we met Jesus. And from that time on, we need to realize that He wishes us to put Him first. But the Bible says, if we put Him first, and all these things, everything shall be added unto us, for us. We need that resolving in our hearts that we're going to not quit. We're going to go on with God because God has got a wonderful blessing for us. He's got a very special life for us. Without Him, we're failures. With Him, we're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. And the Bible says that we need a strength, ever-present help in the time of need. The Bible says, God is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. God is truly good. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And all of us, until we met Jesus, we have all had a permanent one time when our life would end with no arrangements being made. We was going to be sent out to a dark place. And I don't know all the consequences, but I do know when you have God and with Him, He promises that we have an eternal home. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given us everlasting life. God's given us a hope, a desire, a direction that we can cope with life itself. And life itself is not always easy. But with God, all things are possible. And greater is He that's within us, He that's in the world. We find ourselves not walking no longer alone. We find ourselves being privileged. And we start from our childhood. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye followers of God as dear children. We find ourselves growing and saying, Abba, Father, and realize that my Father in heaven is closer than my earthly father. God has a special touch for each one of us. When a child, the Bible says, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, but when I become a man or a woman, I put away childish things. We grow. God allows us to grow in Him, grow to be blessed by God. The 7th chapter of Romans, the 4th verse, Apostle Paul is speaking up there about the married life, basically, before the previous verses. But in this part right here, really touched my heart, brought tears to my eyes, because it says, wherefore, my beloved, ye also become dead to the law, the body of Christ, that ye should marry to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. This marriage we have with Jesus is lasting. Now, God allows us to have a family, but this life with God is beyond our imagination. We're going to take on the bride to be the bride of Jesus. And God allowed this that His family might grow in His nature. See, God's lifeline will be through us because we're taking Jesus as our Savior, our husband, basically. He is the one that made us, and we're not complete until we have Him. That completeness comes in Him, even though we live a happy life upon earth, and we have a family, and we have friends, we have all, but it's really not completed until we have Jesus. And Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you the times of discouragement. I'll be through the times of troubles. And all of us have something that bothers us, whether something that the enemy can come to kill. He is the one that kills, destroys, and steals. But Jesus is the opposite. He's come to give us life and give us more abundant life. But the problem it is, seems like, I don't know how to bring this in right up this point, but there seems to be two focuses that's on the Christian life. There's two different classes of people. And God knows the answer for both halves. But I truly believe with all my heart that the Lord has something very special for those who will dare walk in the Spirit. I believe it's an area that many don't want to come into because it means giving your life to Christ. It means having a purpose in Him. It means not living a halfway lukewarm life. It means being on fire. It means directed by your Heavenly Father. But it ensures you that you will live eternally with Him. It ensures you that you will have the glory of God. It ensures you that when you call upon Him, He will visit you and be with you. We have problems in life that we face, even that I'm facing right now. But God uses them to see basically how we're going to take it, how we handle it. And how we handle life is how God judges us. God lets us have our way many times. But through the Spirit of God, He tells us, He prompts us. He said, my child, would you do this? When you do this or that? In that invitation, He's speaking so lovingly. Will you do this? If we answer back, yes, Lord, I want to do it, it gladdens His heart. But if we say, I don't hear you, that's not for me. That's not what the Bible talks about. But see, it's His Bible. It's His words. But if we're receiving it wrong, then I'm basically, when we come and stand before Him in that day, we're going to be wanting. We're going to be needing someone to help us. And that help comes in a true heart, truthfully in the Lord. God wants us to take our residency in Him. That we're, our life itself is beyond expendable for our cost. It means it's better to have Him and lose my life than to have my life and not have Him. And basically that's very hard for us to understand. But that's what God wishes, that we would love Him and serve Him in love, in faithfulness, believing that He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. We have to realize that He is forever faithful. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For it's written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, as sheep for the slaughter. If any of you have been around sheep or cattle, when they, their last breath, it's not a good sight. Mitch's used to have a slaughterhouse. When I was a kid, we had to slaughter, and I didn't like it. That's what it's talking there. These are like a sheep. Sheep doesn't even takes no and doesn't say nothing. He just goes up there and gives his life. And God speaks to us so many times like sheep. Where sheep has a follower made in them. They follow one another. They're not real aggressive. They're sort of timid. They're sort of creatures of just going down and not bothering other people and other animals or that. And that's the way we're supposed to be in the Lord. But God gives us a power within the Spirit of God that gives us a power that we don't understand. And that's why when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's for us. Many times we grow in this timid nature. God gives us a strength that we can stand before all things with the Spirit of God. It gives us a aggressiveness that we don't have without Him. It gives us a way that we can stand, that we don't have that strength within ourselves to endure hardness. But the Spirit of God is upon you. It gives you that extra measure of God's strength within you. God allows His Spirit to rest within us that we might end up being overcomers. It means that we could not pass these tests of life in ourselves. Try as hard as we want, but we'd end up not making it, not enduring, not making complete. And many times that making complete is what we start things, but we can't finish it. And God is the only one that can finish anything. We need His help that we might pursue God's lifestyle.